You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We kick off this issue with some moving information about the month of June. We call it June Dairy Month today, but did you know that the official designation started in 1937 as National Milk Month? Grocery stores sponsored the month and used it as a way to help distribute more milk during the warm summer months. 2 years later, in 1939, June became the official Dairy Month, and we now celebrate the dairy industry and the important work of farmers at events across the state and nation. And in Northeast Wisconsin, or New Wisco as we call it, farm breakfasts are the highlight. You can find one in every county throughout the month. And grab a pen because we're going to tell you where to find the complete list of June dairy events in our area coming up. In the meantime, there's also a parade of cows planned this month. Where, you may be asking? Well, you can learn more about it in this issue's cover story. Terry Barr takes us behind the scenes of a true shrine to all things dairy, including the parade of cows. That's in about 20 minutes. Amanda Nimmer rhapsodizes on her favorite dairy treat, and Brittany Berlow previews hurricane season. Can it affect Wisconsin? We'll find out. We have stories on invasive species and how you can keep our waterways healthy, and kayaking in New Wisco. Pete Schwabba has his classic cinema pick of the week, and it's a great flick that's outstanding in its field. And later, Chris Rogowski from Age of Fable gives us some great music for our weekend. Summer is starting, which means kids have a lot more free time right now. What will they use to fill it? For some, it'll be hanging out with friends, doing chores, maybe even studying, doubt it. But for many of them, social media, with all of its pros and cons, will be front and center for socialization. We'll open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with correspondent Joanne Krulatz and a look at social media and children.
The impact of social media on our children and adolescents is difficult to measure, and there are growing concerns about mental health risk. Sarah Young is a psychiatrist with Gunderson Health System.
We typically are finding that it depends a lot on the kind of feedback that a person is getting through social media, whether that has a positive impact on their mental health or a negative impact on their mental health. So if they are using social media to make social connections in a way that is might be difficult for them in person, that can be a very positive thing. Or finding people who understand some of the struggles that they're having or have similar interests, that can be very positive. Or if they're getting positive feedback from people, say they post some art that they did and they get lots of compliments on that. That's a big ego boost. But if they are finding that those interactions online are negative, they're not getting the attention that they were hoping for, they're getting negative attention, then we see that having a really negative impact. The other thing that we see a lot in terms of negatives from social media is that comparison of my life versus everyone else's life. And everyone's putting their shiniest picture of their life online, not the boring things or the bad things. And so when they compare their entire life and all the positives and negatives with someone's shiny vacation photos, it's really easy to think that everyone else's life is better than mine, or they're having more fun than I'm having, or they have more friends than I have, when that is often just a perception.
She adds that it isn't necessarily a crisis because it has some potential benefits, but
left unchecked, it could certainly become a crisis within individual families, just based on exposure that kids might have to content or people that their parents might not approve of, or ways that kids might be sharing information that parents really need to be aware of in terms of their own mental health or their interests or other activities that they're doing. The internet is full of things that look very real and correct that are absolutely not factual. And so it's very important that parents are aware of what their kids are accessing and how that's impacting their education, their beliefs, things that they think are true around, you know, their own health or sexual health. Those are things that we certainly don't want them finding misinformation online and assuming those things are true with great consequences.
Socialization among teens has changed over the years.
We're certainly seeing that they are far less interested in the same hanging out in person and engaging in the same way that, teens used to. A lot of times when they're hanging out together, there's still a lot of phone time that's happening, as opposed to, you know, pre-smartphones when kids had to just hang out and talk to each other. So we certainly have some concerns around the communication impact and the social impact in terms of the intensity of relationships that people are having because they're not getting to know each other in the same way that they previously would have. That said, you can form some really strong relationships online as well. So it's not that they're not forming those social relationships. They just look different, and we're not entirely sure what to make of that.
Health professionals agree parents need to be involved.
Ideally, parents are involved straight out of the gate, setting expectations for what that use looks like and what the oversight is going to look like. If that didn't happen, I think it's completely fair for parents to say, okay, we might have mishandled this to start with. Here's how things are going to look moving forward. And we certainly don't want to take a one-size-fits-all approach with that either. If your child is being very responsible in their use of social media, then we don't have to breathe down their neck and read every single message that they send. But it's like any trust situation where that trust is earned, and if that trust is broken, then we need to back things off and re-earn that trust again.
Sarah Young says it is important for youth to understand that social media is an important and effective tool, but not the only tool. It is important to be able to have in-person interactions and communication. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulantz.
We hope you're having a happy new WSCO weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
It's not guaranteed, but you just might see a cow or two as you kayak the waters of New WSCO. Here's Conrad Krieger with a look at kayaking without having to buy your own vessel.
Well, summer is here, so how can you go outside, enjoy activity, and have fun? Sherry Amrick from Kayak Wisconsin shares how you can get out on the water and paddle with a kayak.
Business name is Kayak Wisconsin, and it's self-serve rentals. So when someone makes a reservation, we give them access to Master Lock. So they download an app, and then they go unlock it by themselves, put it in the water by themselves, and then come back. It's easy access. It's fast enough that you could go on a lunch break. They're sit-on-top, sturdy kayaks.
Nice.
But yeah, some people get really into it.
And yeah. So if you're in northeastern Wisconsin, where can you find Kayak Wisconsin's locations?
Haymaker Park and then Miller Park in Wrightstown. And then this year we're adding East River in Bellevue. Unfortunately, it's record low water, so that didn't happen yet.
So how do you sign up and make a reservation with Kayak Wisconsin?
Online, and when you get the reservation, and then we do the back end programming, and then they'll get an email saying download this app, and then they go click the lock that they're going to wake up, which is locking their equipment. Then they click unlock in the app, and then they go on their merry way.
What is all included when you make a reservation?
So most locations have two tandems and then four singles. Wrightstown has the most because that was the first location and we wanted to accommodate more school groups. And so anyone that does a big group does it in Wrightstown.
When you're out on the water in a kayak, Sherry has a couple rules with Kayak Wisconsin.
It's a rule. If you're going to use a Kayak Wisconsin kayak, you actually have to have it on you, and it is included. So you rent the kayak, you unlock the box with equipment, and then you unlock the kayaks. So they are there. There's no excuse. Yeah, think ABC, anything but cotton. Well, because if you get wet, you're going to get a lot colder in cotton. You'd like some things that would dry faster. So usually you want to dress for the temperature of the water, not the air, in case you go in. No one really plans on going in. And it doesn't, I used to say it's almost impossible to tip these wide, stable kayaks. I don't say that anymore because some people do find a way to tip them.
Kayak Wisconsin is located all over Green Bay. If you're looking to get out and enjoy the water and have some fun and get activity, Kayak Wisconsin is the way to go.
Little Chute, Wrightstown, and then Lily Lake. And then East River isn't there yet because of low water levels, but it's coming. And then the Duck Creek Quarry.
Awesome.
In Howard.
Oh, that's right.
All right. And we just go to kayakwis.com to look it up.
Want to do everything online. So you book it all in. It's self-serve. So often you don't even have to talk to us. If you have questions, you can certainly text or call. But yeah, you do the reservation online. It's $25 for two hours on a single kayak or $40 for a tandem. In May, if you do, because May it's always slow. Especially on weekdays because everyone's still in school.
Sure.
So if you rent in May on a weekday, you'll get a free weekday later in the year.
Nice.
Just to get the word out.
That was Sherry Amrick from Kayak Wisconsin, who joined Mino and the mayor weekday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee.
When I think of June Dairy Month treats, my first thought is always ice cream. But what's Amanda Nimmers? Let's find out.
It's June Dairy Month. Oh, it's finally here. And before you get all uppity on me going, it's really not that big of a deal, why are you looking forward to it so much? You guys look forward to Shark Week every year. I get a whole month to enjoy all that is dairy because I am not lactose intolerant that I am aware of yet. But realistically, it's because I wholeheartedly, 110% accept, appreciate, love, and adore a weird love of cheese. So if an alien invasion ever comes and they're like, what does this state represent? Do not put me in front of them, for I will fulfill all stereotypes when it comes to the cheese. Because our cheese is so good. We've won world competitions competing with places like Belgium, Germany, Switzerland. Because yes, there are world championship cheese contests. And last year, Wisconsin cheesemakers won 117 of those awards. 117, including Roth Cheeses in 2016. And three times, we have won best cheese in the world. Best cheese on this planet. Three times. And would you like to know those cheeses? Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. One of them is the Black Pepper Bellavitano. It's a Parmesan Asaggio hybrid with coarse ground peppercorns and aged for a year. Oh, so good. Vat 17. It was a creation that began as a quest to capture the best flavor attributes from cheddars all around the world and blend it into one unique cheese. It is bold. It is complex with a tangy nuttiness that is unsurpassed. And finally, this one, I'm going to butcher the name because I don't speak French. Roth Cheese in 2016 won Best Cheese in the World for an Alpine-style cheese known for its rich, nutty flavor, a drier cheese with a delightful after flavor, a little nuttier, and that is the Grand Cru
Surchois.
Whatever that was, because I had to look it up. I wasn't even going to try. But again, those are the three best cheeses in the entire world. And they came right here. Be proud of that. Be excited for that. Be team cheese all the way through and through, because I am. Get excited for the charcuterie boards, or charcuterie boards, however you want to pronounce it, that give you a variety of delicious local made cheeses that people all over the world are jealous of. Yeah, they're jealous of us because of our creamy dairy deliciousness. And if you're wondering what my go-to absolute favorite cheese in the whole world is, because I'm glad you asked, it's the Sitari Gold Bellavitano cheese. You can get it at Pick and Save for $6.99, and I highly recommend that you do so. Also, did you know you can go on a cheese tour? There's a cheese tour in Wisconsin. I'll probably talk more about that some other time this month. Get your cheese on, ladies and gents. Embrace it. Be proud of it. Get addicted to it. Okay, don't get addicted to it, but like have a very strong appreciation for it that lasts ages. Meet me on my level. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
E-I-E-I-O, with a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there.
When we come back, a story about some serious weather we'll see this year in Peach Wabba's Classic Cinema Pick of the Week. Also, where to find a museum dedicated to our dairy heritage, coming up in our cover story. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We mentioned that June dairy events will be happening all around Northeast Wisconsin, and most focus on visiting a farm for breakfast. But there's even a Winnebago County Grilled Cheese Day at the Silver Shay Holstein Farm in Omro. That'll be happening Saturday, June 21st. You can find the full list of all types of fun at wisconsindairy.org. Again, wisconsindairy.org. Let's grab some popcorn, maybe with butter, and settle in for Pete Schwabe now.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabe's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
With this week's classic pick, I'm doing the best I can to honor June Dairy Month. However, since there are not many riveting movies about milk, I decided to go dairy adjacent and keep it on the farm. Do you recognize this famous movie line? If you build it, he will come. If not, it's most likely you have not seen this week's pick, which is Field of Dreams. I highly recommend you check it out, or if you're like many people, you've already seen it multiple times and might be due for a rewatch in honor of June Dairy Month. It also doesn't hurt that baseball season is now in full swing. Get it? Kevin Costner plays Iowa corn farmer Ray Kinsella, a man going through a bit of a midlife crisis as he never realized his own dreams and whose father, a huge baseball fan, passed away before they were able to reconcile after a falling out, leaving Ray with a sense of longing and emptiness, which is eventually rectified.
My God. I only saw him years later when he was worn down by life. Look at him. He's got his whole life in front of him, and I'm not even a glint in his eye. What do I say to him?
Why don't you introduce him to his granddaughter?
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to thank you folks for putting up this field, letting us play here. I'm John Kinsella.
I'm Ray.
The story really starts when Ray hears a voice that utters that most famous line, "If you build it, he will come," which is followed by a vision of disgraced former White Sox player Shoeless Joe Jackson, played by a young Ray Liotta. Jackson was pivotal in the 1919 World Series scandal where he and seven other White Sox players were accused of throwing the game and ultimately becoming the Black Sox. Ray convinces his wife, Annie, played by Amy Madigan, that he has to build a baseball field which will cut into their farm's profits. The film also could have been called His Wife Thinks He's Crazy. After the meeting with Shoeless Joe, Joe asks Ray if he can come back. Ray says sure, and the next day he shows up with the seven other disgraced ballplayers from the scandal. Ray eventually connects with controversial author Terrence Mann, played by James Earl Jones. Mann wrote a book with a character named John Kinsella, the same name as Ray's father. The two embark on a road trip and watch baseball together before John finally appears to Ray and his family. Yes, this movie is a fantasy and a bit implausible, but heartwarming nonetheless. Despite not bringing home any Oscars in 1990, the film was nominated for three Academy Awards, including Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Picture, and Best Original Score. During filming, Iowa was in the middle of a drought, so the cornfields surrounding the diamond had to be given lots of extra water in order to grow tall enough for the actors to disappear into the stalks. As a result, the corn grew too fast for shots of Kevin Costner where he was dwarfed. When you see the corn above his shoulders, he is walking on an elevated plank. Like many movies, it seems the lead actor was not the first choice. Tom Hanks was offered the part of Ray Kinsella, but turned it down. Reba McEntire auditioned for the part of Annie. When you're a legend, people just sort of take orders, as was the case with Timothy Busfield, who the legendary Burt Lancaster didn't know was part of the cast and kept giving Busfield tasks like fetching water and chairs. The two shared a laugh when Lancaster realized who Busfield was when they were finally in a scene together. When you shoot a film in a welcoming and friendly but unsavvy Iowa, you have to roll with things. Amy Madigan sure did, as she was offered a job as a bartender by the local bar, who had no idea who she was. A great folksy behind-the-scenes story to go with a great folksy movie. Field of Dreams is this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Sky, stormy weather.
On Sunday, June 1st, hurricane season starts in the Atlantic, and our meteorologist Brittany Merlot says there's a pretty good chance for above normal activity with a handful of major storms. Here she is.
The hurricane season starts on June 1st and runs through November 30th. That's a six-month-long season. And the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration predicts a 60% chance of an above-normal season to strike. NOAA thinks there will be about 13 to 19 named storms with winds of 39 miles per hour or more. And of those, 6 to 10 of them are expected to become hurricanes with winds of 74 miles per hour or stronger. And as for the major destructive hurricanes, Category 3, 4, or 5 strength, NOAA predicts we'll see about 3 to 5 of them this season. So here's what's happening. We're still in an ENSO neutral phase, which means we're not in an El Nino pattern or a La Nina. This means that the trade winds are weaker, and with still well above normal ocean water temperatures, pairing the higher heat with the weak wind shear, it'll make it much easier for tropical storms to form. And there's also forecasted to be higher activity with the West African monsoon. That's where hurricanes start. NOAA says they're about 70% confident in their forecast for this hurricane season. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Here in New Wisco, we won't see the same types of wind, storm surges, and destruction that the coastal areas could see this year, but remnants of tropical storms and hurricanes do affect Wisconsin weather and can spawn dangerous storms and even tornadoes.
The blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, rocking chair's gonna get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me.
Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, learn where the dairy industry's past is being preserved while its future is getting a boost. That's our cover story. And would you be surprised to know that there are more than 300 varieties of cheese? Can you guess which one's the most popular? We'll have that answer when we return right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. With more than 300 varieties of cheese to choose from, a U.S. Department of Agriculture survey shows the most popular one is cheddar, and Wisconsin produces the most cheddar cheese of any state. You can find more facts and tidbits like this one at a shrine to the dairy industry. Yes, I called it a shrine. Here's Terry Barr with this issue's cover story.
June is dairy month, but did you know there's a shrine to the dairy business, and it's right here in Wisconsin? Joining me to talk all about it today is Mike Upperman, and Mike is the executive director of the National Dairy Shrine. Mike, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's just a thrill to be here.
This is so terrific. What is the National Dairy Shrine for those who do not know?
Oh, geez, how much time do you have? So the National Dairy Shrine is just what the name suggests. It's a national organization. We actually started in 1949 by a group of dairy industry professionals who just wanted to preserve the history of the Dairy Shrine, but also really recognize great dairy producers, great breeders of dairy cattle who are in the industry. Over the years, our organization has grown. We all told we're over 20,000 members globally, and we really focus on our mission, and there's three pillars to our mission. The first is to inspire youth. So every year we give out scholarships to college students. So we just finished our scholarships in 2025. We'll give out about 40 scholarships, just under $50,000 to college students who want to pursue a career in the dairy industry. And our second pillar is all about recognizing dairy leaders. So each year we recognize a guest of honor. We recognize a distinguished dairy cattle breeder. And we also recognize pioneers who have made significant contributions to the dairy industry. And our third pillar, which is heavily involved in Wisconsin, is we have a museum. And our third pillar is preserving the history of the dairy industry. Our museum is in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, and it started in 1981. It really serves two different communities. As you might imagine, most of the people that come through the museum are unaware of the dairy industry. So they learn about how milk is made, where, you know, how cows are cared for, where their cheese and ice cream and cottage cheese and everything comes from. But then it's also for those dairy farmers who want to come through and just see how dairy cows were managed 50 years ago. You know, so yeah, there's a lot of artifacts. There's a lot of history in the museum. And it's also a place where, as we call it, our Dairy Hall of Fame, where we have the photos of all of our award winners to kind of recognize the great work that they've done. A long answer to your question, but that's what Dairy Shrine is all about.
It's a lot. I am amazed. And when somebody comes in and, you know, sort of like I said to you, I discovered you by accident and I'm so glad I did. What's the reaction when they realize what a big deal this is?
You know, it's a lot like your reaction was. I think for folks who may not be familiar with the dairy industry, they are surprised by everything that goes into operating a dairy farm, to taking care of cows. It's not just, you know, the cow shows up and you milk her and away she goes. You know, it's, there's a lot to it, you know, and then that's only part of the equation. So what happens when milk leaves the dairy farm and it goes through all the different processing parts to make all of the products that we like? So I think it's a little bit of a surprise when people come to our museum and see all that is included in the dairy industry.
I think what did I read about the museum? You have a dog powered butter churn. What is that?
Actually, I think it's a sheep powered butter churn, but it was, you know, obviously it's an antique, but it's a regular wooden treadmill that you would put a small animal on, whether it's a dog or a sheep or whatever. As they walk, it would run the paddles for the butter churn. And that's how, that was probably the first robotic butter maker, you know, in history. So that's one of the things that is part of the museum that people really get a kick out of when they see it.
Yeah, just reading that, I thought, okay, I have to go. I have to see this now. I am talking with Mike Opperman. He is the executive director at the National Dairy Shrine in Wisconsin. Mike, when you tell someone that you're the executive director of the shrine, how proud are you to say that?
Just so proud. You know, I've been involved with the dairy industry all my life. And I've been associated with the National Dairy Shrine since I was a kid. I was fortunate enough that my dad was heavily involved in the dairy industry. And so I met all of the people, all of the historical figures that were associated with Shrine and with the dairy industry throughout my career. So when the opportunity came up, I guess it'd be 5 years ago, to become the executive director, it was an honor for me to accept the role and to lead the organization.
You know, we're talking about this, but where can people go to get the most updated information and learn more about the Dairy Shrine?
You can go to dairyshrine.org for all of the information associated with National Dairy Shrine, or you can always follow us on Facebook or Instagram. And we have regular updates on things that we're doing and news and activities and so forth.
What does June Dairy Month, what does it mean to you and to the Dairy Shrine?
Well, it's just a great opportunity to celebrate everything dairy. One of the things about the museum is we're fortunate to be associated with another museum, the Hoard Historical Museum, which is just a great regional museum. You know, there's a tremendous amount of Indian mounds around Fort Atkinson. President Lincoln stopped in Fort Atkinson, so there's a room dedicated to President Lincoln. But in June, circling back to June Dairy Month, we partner with the museum to put on June Dairy Days. We'll have a cow parade in our backyard where people can come see all the different breeds of cattle. We'll have great grilled cheese and ice cream and things like that, and different exhibits that are fun for the kids. So just from that aspect, it's a lot of fun just to celebrate everything dairy. And we do, through the shrine, we'll do things throughout the month highlighting some of the different factions within the dairy industry, and just to help people kind of learn more about where their dairy foods come from and why the dairy industry is so important.
And when is that cow parade?
It's a Father's Day weekend.
Okay, everybody, put that on your calendar. That is so great.
It's a lot of fun. You know, I would just encourage people to visit our website, to follow us, and just to learn more about the dairy industry. You know, I think it's so important for people to understand where their food comes from and all the great things that our hardworking dairy producers every day to create a healthy product for people. I would just encourage people to learn all they can about, you know, how their dairy products are made and some of the activities that go on a dairy farm, and just learn more and enjoy those dairy products, not only in June, but all throughout the year.
Well, happy June Dairy Month to
That's
you.
Right.
I have been talking to Mike Opperman. He is the executive director of the National Dairy Shrine in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. Mike, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Terry. I really appreciate it.
And Lisa, I learned another interesting tidbit about the agriculture industry in Wisconsin. The state's first farmers grew and harvested wheat, but a bug infestation devoured the crop and right along with it, any profits.
So Terry, how did it turn to dairy?
Well, German and Scandinavian immigrant families brought the dairy industry here, along with butter and cheese production. The rest, as they say, is history.
Every Friday night, there's a steady cloud of dust that leads back to a field filled with pickup trucks. Got old Hank cranking way up loud. Got coolers in the back, tailgates down. There's a big fire burning, but don't be alarmed. It's just country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
The weather is getting warmer, and more people are headed to the water to cool off or catch some fish. But meteorologist Brittany Merlot says there are some simple steps to take to keep our waters and aquatic life healthy.
I'm sure you've heard there's invasive species in some of our Wisconsin waters.
We have the large ocean-going vessels we have coming into the Great Lakes. You know, as you can see these amazing maps with motion that you just don't really think about it, but our Great Lakes are big hubs for industry and a variety of things. And so through ballast water and other ways, we've had different invasive species arrive.
That's Erin McFarlane, a statewide Clean Boats, Clean Waters educator with UWSP. And some of our very own lakes and rivers contain aquatic diseases or small and hard-to-see invasive species like spiny water fleas.
They're pretty small organisms, so it is challenging to see them because they're translucent. They're kind of clear, but technically you can see them with the naked eye if you look very closely, because they'll often clump together with their neighbors and friends and make these kind of gummy, waddy clumps on fishing lines or fishing nets. But it'd be very easy for boaters and anglers to not see them floating in the water or floating in their live well.
They're a non-native invasive species that has caused a lot of challenges in Wisconsin lakes.
Refer to them sometimes as like little mini chicken nuggets. Young fish, juvenile fish will want to try to eat them, but because they have these spines on the back, it can often prevent them from being able to digest them, and so it can be deadly for the fish.
And they also outcompete other critters that are actually healthier for our waters.
Not completely widespread in Wisconsin. We have them in our Great Lakes and a few lakes. They're popping up in northern Wisconsin and Lake Mendota and Monona.
And we also have the zebra mussels and their larvae sneaking into places.
Microscopic to tiny and invisible when they're first born, so not something you could see with the naked eye. And then they'll slowly get to a little bit larger size, to being about the inch and a quarter, you know, adult size. So definitely the larvae are not something that you would very easily spot in water. They would have to be getting to larger adult size before you'd be able to see them. And so very easy, again, to spread them because they're floating in the water.
So the Wisconsin DNR is urging anglers to drain water from their boats and live wells and all equipment this fishing season.
And by draining the water from live wells and boats and making sure we're not moving fish from one water body to another, we can kind of make sure that we're taking the steps to prevent them from spreading.
Wisconsin law requires you to do it before leaving the boat launch.
And so whether you're kayaking or canoeing or fishing on the lake, making sure that you're looking at all of your fishing equipment, your boat that you're using, your gear, any other equipment that you're just enjoying if you're not out fishing for the day, removing anything attached, draining all of the water from anything that you have, because again, we just want to make sure we're not taking water from one place to another.
And if you're using live bait, Wisconsin fishing regulations say that minnows can only be purchased from a licensed Wisconsin bait dealer. And rules are to never dump the unwanted bait in the water.
So the simplest way to think about it is that you don't want to take fish or water from one water body and put them into another water body, because you could be spreading a lot of these species are they're invisible to the eye. And so you could unknowingly spread things by moving the water.
And if you have worms that you will not use before they die, don't put them in the water or on the ground either.
Earthworms in Wisconsin in general, they're not naturally found here. And so if you just think of your live bait as trash and just can dispose of it in the trash receptacles, that's the best way to handle it. It's also better to keep our landings clean and clear for other people enjoying them.
And everyone can enjoy Wisconsin state parks, trails, and waters for free next weekend. It's the 13th annual Free Fun Weekend. State park admission fees are waived, fishing licenses aren't needed, and neither are trail passes for the first weekend in June. So get outside and enjoy the great outdoors, but keep it the same. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Coming up, the music of Chris Rogowski from Age of Fable. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. George Eliot once wrote, "Life seems to go on without effort when I am filled with music." So today we bring you Chris Rogowski, who appeared on a recent episode of Mino and the Mayor.
So I see you're coming in solo today.
Yeah.
You're representing the group. So tell us about your group and why just you today, doggone it all?
Yeah, well, because everyone has normal jobs and I have...
I'm not harmed by that now. All of a sudden I feel bad for asking the question.
No, I'm a full-time business owner. I'm a photographer and musician, and that's how I make my money. So I set my own hours, and that's why I'm here at 8:36, and they're at an office job.
Well, that's good, because I said, thanks for getting up early. He goes, I'm up at 6 or 5 or whatever you said.
It's I like, feel better
for
now.
A musician? Well, now I know why.
It's good to be king. Yeah. So yeah. How'd you find us? How'd you get to the show? How'd you get here?
Sarah Rosenberg. Actually, told me about
it. She's a great friend.
Yeah. Okay. She said, they're looking for someone. Email them right now. And I went, oh, okay.
Well, I just want to know, just on a very general, how are things in the music scene? How are you feeling like the community's connected?
I think things are really going good in the music scene, especially in Green Bay. I feel like it's making a comeback after, 10, 15 years of junk for a while. It's really starting to make a comeback, and especially after COVID, now things are really picking up.
Right.
So the name of your group is called Age of Fable. Is that correct? So,
that is.
And are you going to play something from the group? Is that something that you do?
This is called Guillotine. And ironically, it was
played
in Australia.
Excuse me, guys,
Australia.
Can't stay. Gotta go.
It's a love song.
Don't lose your head over it. Don't lose your head over it.
It's a love song about how I hate life. No, I'm just kidding. No,
you're one of those guys, are you?
So emo.
Anyways, funny enough, I wrote this at 5 a.m. All right, here we go.
Sure got quiet around here.
Yeah. I know. It's because I used the...
Setting the mood.
I want to hear this song about guillotines.
Yeah, I'm right. Scared. Hold me.
Okay.
Of guillotine, cutting and killing swiftly. The crowd stares in amazement as your eventual end is brazen. moment's silence, cut by a violent riot. Like a hot knife through the skin, you can't feel anything. Searing pain as I become your kindling. Adrenaline doesn't help. I can't breathe every last ounce of air is out. In a last-ditch effort to escape, I don't want to end this game. Everyone's a critic of the minutes I waste. I wonder what they say to my face. They don't believe in what I have to say. They're full of it and that's fine with me. Adrenaline doesn't help. I can't breathe every last ounce of air is out. In a last ditch effort to escape, I don't want to end this game. Cutting and killing swiftly. The crowd stares in amazement as your eventual end is brazen. Adrenaline doesn't help. I can't breathe every last ounce of air is out. In a last ditch effort to escape, I don't want to end this game.
Wow.
Fabulous. You had Dennis and I in the first stanza, you know, with the lyrics. It's like, whoa, listen to these lyrics.
I was preparing to defend myself the whole time. So what? Yeah. So has that song, is it out there? I mean, has it been recorded
it
out
has,
there?
It Talk has. About that. It's been out since 2020. We recorded. So we had the band had a COVID project because the world was shut down, right? So we recorded three albums and we did this like concept album of Ethos, Pathos, and Logos. And that was the first single off of Pathos. Yeah.
Beautiful. How do we find your music?
Oh, yes. Go to facebook.com/ageoffable.
F-A-B-L-E.
And now, Chris Rogowski.
All right, cool. This is called Dig Your Own Grave.
Another Right to Sherry song. Family sing-along.
Yeah, right.
Family sing-along.
Dig your own grave just to say that you did. Then you pretend like you want to exist. Live for you and not lie for them. Everything is about you in the end. All you say is what you said to me today. I'm not surprised you didn't want to stay.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend's Look at June Dairy Month. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. The lead correspondent is Terry Barr with features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Joanne Krulatz, Peach Waba, and our commentator, Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by John Mino and Dennis Peters. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.